Welcome to the AWS Podcast. This is your regular journey into all things Amazon Web Services, including service updates, technical tips, deep dives, and interviews. Please visit aws.amazon.com/podcast for previous episodes, RSS feeds, and to share your feedback. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the AWS Podcast, episode number 88. Brilliant to have you back. My name's Simon Alicia, Principal Solution Architect here in beautiful Melbourne, Australia. And from what I understand, Mr. Jeff Barr is in an equally beautiful Seattle, Washington today. How's things in Seattle, Jeff?
Simon, things are beautiful here. We're at 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The sun is out, and I've been working from home, and I've actually run back several times to make sure all my plants and veggies are growing nicely, and they're really enjoying the sun today.
Fantastic. It's a beautiful thing when that sun comes out. Everyone gets happier. And I know in Seattle, it's even more important because there's a lot of cloud and rain there as well a lot of the time.
We certainly treasure and value these days.
So lots has been happening. So quite a few updates to share around some different services and also some different training and certification options as well. So one thing we'll launch into is a service called the Simple Workflow Service. And this is something that I know probably a lot of listeners haven't maybe spent a lot of time with, or only a certain category of listeners have spent some time. And the Amazon Simple Workflow Service allows you to coordinate tasks and manage state for cloud-based applications. So it allows you to really focus on what's happening from the business logic layer and spending less of the time on the coordinating glue between steps. And really, there's a whole bunch of use cases you can apply this to, things like managing complicated video encoding pipelines, doing sort of shopfront type applications, really anything where you have to chain a number of things together. This is an alternative approach where you're not managing queuing and retries and logging, etc. This kind of does it for you. So it suits a certain category of workloads and something that's worth looking into if you're doing that kind of quite complex correlation of activities. I know certainly in the biosciences, in the scientific world, where there's that sort of processing chain that gets done, this is something that's often very appealing. Now, Jeff, one of the things we've done recently, or the team has done, is to increase the metric collection for this particular service. Did you want to talk about what the CloudWatch integration looks like now?
Right. So Simple Workflow is really, to me, a step or two beyond the simple coordination that people often build and kind of band-aid together with a really complicated and messy shell script. So Simple Workflow is something that's a lot more organized and structured and scales and distributes across multiple machines. So once you start to define your application as a workflow and a set of activities, there's a lot of different things going on. There are some sequences. There's perhaps room for some parallelism. You're going to have a number of different instances possibly running different steps and different activities. So the new metrics that we've added, these new CloudWatch metrics, simply give you a lot more visibility into what's going on. You can see the various amounts of time that Simple Workflow will take to process within the system. You'll see how much time the different steps are going to take within the various activities. So this is first going to give you that visibility. And then as a second step, you might say, well, some of these steps are running on EC2 instances, and you might want to wire these metrics into alarms and then use those alarms to fire off auto-scaling up, auto-scaling down events. So you put this all together, you can build something that is a very complex auto-scaling processing pipeline that you simply dump work in at the beginning. That pipeline is going to add resources as needed to process the work that's presented to it, and then it'll scale back down when that incoming workflow subsides.
Yeah, it's a very cool capability, and having those extra metrics really help, as we know that the kind of the more metrics you can get in a meaningful way, the better you can build your system.
Certainly, we're always being asked for more visibility, and I think this is a great way for us to deliver it to our customers.
Absolutely, yeah. CloudWatch is the place to go if you want to see what's happening in your environment. Often people forget it's there, which is interesting, but it is there. It's happily, humbly gathering information all the time, so definitely worth having a look at.
I would put this in the list of things, put CloudWatch in the list of things, where quite often customers will say, if only I could do such and such and I could see inside. And I'll say, you absolutely can for sure, because you've got CloudWatch.
It's right here. Now, one of the interesting things about using Amazon Web Services and the model of web services where they get maintained, updated, etc., is, and I'm going to get ready for a drink, everyone, is you get to avoid the undifferentiated heavy lifting of IT. You get stuff done for you that you don't have to do any effort for. And one of the things that has recently happened quietly in the background is some enhancements to the way the Simple Notification Service uses HTTPS. So Simple Notification Service is a really handy service to do push notifications. You can push to email addresses. In the US, you can push to SMSs. You can also push to HTTP and HTTPS endpoints, which means you can do some really funky things in terms of gluing things together, as we were kind of talking about previously. Now SNS supports SSL server name indication, so SNI, which allows a host to present multiple SSL security certificates via the same IP and port. So this now makes publishing much more easy and simple in a broader variety of cases. In addition to this, we've also expanded the list of certificate authorities that SNS will recognise for HTTPS endpoints. So again, you can send to more endpoints and get broader support. Another little tidbit is you can now also give SNS a username and password as part of the HTTPS URL. So again, if you're doing sort of secured endpoints that have a password component, you can do that as well. So all these additions are just kind of quietly added in. The documentation has been updated. There was a notice put out in the discussion forums. That's often where some of these smaller changes get put into. But a really handy and useful change in the way you can use SNS, and just a little enhancement that you might like to do. Now, something that's bigger and is a fantastic capability is something called CloudTrail. And there are a bunch of updates, Jeff, in that one. So let's talk about that one.
So great set of additions to CloudTrail. So if you don't know CloudTrail, CloudTrail records the set of API calls that are made inside your AWS account. And it then publishes the results to an S3 bucket. The results are in JSON format. And CloudTrail can optionally give you an Amazon SNS notification every time a file is published. So our customers look at these log files. They can troubleshoot the system operations. They can analyze security incidents. They can archive these API call lists for compliance purposes. So what we most recently announced is that in addition to the 8 basic services that we supported at launch time, we've added support for 7 additional services over the course of the preceding month. So we added support for Elastic Beanstalk, Direct Connect, CloudFormation, Elastic MapReduce, Elastic Load Balancing, Kinesis, and CloudWatch. So there's a very broad array of services that CloudTrail now supports.
Exactly, because it already supported, just as a revision, because for many of you this will be quite new, Elastic Compute Cloud, Elastic Block Store, VPC, Relational Database Service, Identity and Access Management, Security Token Service, Redshift, and interestingly enough, CloudTrail itself. One must monitor yourself if you're going to monitor others, I think is important to remember.
You have to watch the watchers, as they say.
Absolutely. This is a great capability, available in a limited number of regions at the moment, but will be expanding across the globe as we go. Actually, something else that was relatively similar for a similar timing was some support from CloudChecker as well, Jeff. I think that's really interesting for our users too.
That's right. CloudChecker is an AWS partner, and they have been working heavily with CloudTrail. And what their product does, it takes the CloudTrail logs, and it analyzes them and gives you some visibility, gives you some information that you can act upon. So it's going to take these individual events. It's going to let you identify higher-level patterns and so forth within that data, give you some graphical representations and the ability to sort and search and filter within this voluminous stream of events.
Exactly. It gives you that visualization. I really do have to give full credit to our AWS partners who really very quickly after the release of CloudTrail introduced native support to it. So companies like Loggly and Splunk, etc., support this stream, which means it's even easier for you to visualize and correlate your information very effectively. So go to the AWS Marketplace to take a look at the various partners, and you can see those that do support that.
I think it's really interesting, Simon, how the speed with which we introduce new services and new features in AWS, we're certainly agile on our own. Our partners have learned to be just as agile as we have, and so they're accustomed to being able to track very, very quickly as we make changes and additions, and they're able to respond just as quickly. So the end result for the customers is awesome. They just get this never-ending stream of AWS services then backed up by partner support.
Absolutely. And you're right. It really is changing the cadence of how fast things are happening in the IT industry for users, is that, you know, it's kind of like if you don't like how something's working, just wait a couple of weeks and it'll be better and different. So it moves really, really fast, which is great.
That's right. Wait a couple of weeks. And if we didn't actually cover your needs, please email us, tweet us, something us, so that we know that you are looking for it. And we're happy to pass those things along to the proper teams.
Absolutely. Now, I know our friends in Europe have been asking for something from the teams recently, which is access to Amazon Workspaces, which is our desktop computing environment in the cloud. And now we can announce it is available immediately in the EU Ireland region. So now we have support in US East, Northern Virginia, US West Oregon, and EU Ireland. So again, one of the key things when you're using Amazon Workspaces to get an optimal performance is you want reasonably low latency. You'd prefer to be sort of under 100 milliseconds. And so if you are located in the EU region, then the Ireland region is the place to go to activate your workspace. Have you had a bit of a play with workspaces lately, Jeff?
Well, I never get a chance to go really, really deep on any of our services, and I just feel like I'm actually on this train moving at very, very high speed past all these really interesting landscapes that I can never actually fully dive into. I certainly did launch Workspaces in preparation for the rollout and thought it was really, really awesome. It was, to me, kind of something neat about Workspaces, and maybe a little bit scary as well. This is, I think, one of the first products that wouldn't be as useful to me as it would be to a large enterprise. And certainly, yeah, we'd love to have enterprises using AWS, and we've got tons and tons of them. But I don't personally see as much need for Workspaces as a bigger organization would. So that's kind of an interesting transition, and I need to make sure that my understanding of their use cases, their vocabulary, their hotspots remains intact as we do more and more to address enterprise needs.
Absolutely. I know for a lot of large companies and medium-sized companies, just managing desktops is a royal pain, and they don't like it, and it's expensive and troublesome. So having an alternative is pretty good. I'm using it in a kind of different way, in that I'm a Mac user, a vowed Mac user, but there are times where I have to use particular products that will only work in the Windows framework, and this gives me a nice, easy way to just jump on and do it. It's very painless and easy. And even though it's not available in my region at the moment, it will be coming. That was one of the announcements we made at the summit. I actually have been using it in the US West region, even from Australia, and it has actually been really acceptable in terms of performance for me. I'm not a power user in terms of it, etc., but it's quite good, which is really nice. So I'm looking forward to having it locally here as well.
I've been very impressed with, one thing I checked out was the video streaming. You know, pulling up a popular video site and going through Workspaces. It's far more impressive than I ever thought it would be.
It's kind of the first thing everyone does, I reckon. It's they bring up a YouTube video or something, say, what's it going to look like this? And they're kind of looking for the herky-jerky experience. And when they don't get it, like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Exactly.
Non-trivial to achieve that, that's for sure. Now, one of the other things that a lot of our listeners are into is getting their certifications done on AWS. We obviously provide a wide range of training and also now an expanding layer of certifications. And one of the new certifications that's just come out is the professional level certification exam for AWS solution architects. So this is the next step up from the solution architect associate level. This is kind of in, we've got more detail. You probably need a bit more experience to be able to do this one effectively. You want to have made sure you've attended various training courses and done quite a lot of hands-on stuff, because we're testing you on how to design and deploy dynamically scalable and highly available and fault-tolerant applications, how to choose the right services to design and deploy an application based on a particular set of requirements, so being able to interpret what's needed, how to migrate very complicated applications to AWS, how to do enterprise-wide scalable operations, which is another thing, cost control strategies, etc. Now, the good news is that if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll have learned quite a few of those things. And if you've gone to one of our summits recently, you would have heard information around that as well. There is an exam guide that can help guide you. The other thing I'd like to share with you is that we do have a discount code available for you so that you can get a 20% discount through to September the 30th of this year. We'll provide the link on the show notes, so if you're interested in doing the course, you should go visit Jeff's blog and get the full information. And in there, he has a magical discount code that is far too long to mention, but does give you the 20% discount. So a good test to do. Certainly a non-trivial. It's something I'd recommend that you prepare for and that you study for. Jeff, you're going to give it a shake? What do you think?
there's no way I'll ever be competent to take this exam, ever. I spent some time looking through that exam guide, and I have nothing but the most high level of respect for the folks that are ready to take this exam and who have passed it, because it's a very demanding set of questions, and not something you can simply master by reading a documentation or reading some blog posts. You really need actual in the trenches experience building and running systems to have a chance to pass this test.
I think it's a very astute observation. You have to have done it to get this test. So you've got to be in the trenches and do it the real way. So before we wrap up, I wanted to share a black belt tip, a personal one this time. This one came up because we were talking, I think, Jeff, you remember a few weeks ago, I was in Auckland, New Zealand at the summit there, and part of my role there was to answer a lot of questions. And one of the questions that came up was around SSL termination at the ELB layer. And one of the first things that happens is people say, that's awesome, I can terminate SSL at the ELB and offload the work from my servers. It means I don't have to manage my certificates on those servers, etc. Makes it a whole lot easier. And then the next moment they go, but hang on, now I've got traffic that's going in the clear from the ELB into my web servers, and I probably don't want that. So something you can do is you can actually have ciphers running between the ELBs and the instances themselves when terminating SSL. So the SSL still terminates at the ELB, but then a new session is established between your ELB and your servers using a kind of a more straightforward approach, if I can put it that way, that's easier to manage, and you maintain that encryption across those instances. So it's kind of a nifty way to maintain security, isn't it, Jeff?
It is, and I think this is really important because we all know that defense in depth is something that people need to pay attention to. You don't want one of those architectures where the outside is really secure, but once you're inside, it's an anything-goes model. I think any real security person is going to say, keep the inside as secure as possible, and that far too often internal security is overlooked.
Absolutely. And this is pretty easy to set up. We'll provide the link in the show notes about how to configure it, but it's just one of those features that's there. In fact, it came out a couple of years ago. I think I looked back and it was about 2011 when it came out from memory, but far too many people aren't aware of it. So there's your black belt tip of the week, that you can do that if you want to. So probably time for us to wrap up, Jeff. Anything you want to add before we wind up with listeners this week?
Can't think of anything today.
Awesome. So everyone, great to talk to you again. Again, if you are enjoying the podcast, please let us know. If there's stuff you'd like changed, please let us know. As we mentioned earlier, we'll be doing some mixing up of the podcast. We'll be doing some interviews. We'll be doing some deep dives as well. This particular sequence is a lot of updates to keep you up to date. So it's a blended approach, and we do hope you enjoy it. So great to talk to you again. I look forward to speaking to you soon. Cheers, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. We love getting your feedback, so please contact us on Twitter at AWS Podcast or via email awspodcast@amazon.com. Theme music provided under Creative Commons by Miles Rogers, audiofarm.org/audiofiles/22275.